I bring Christian greetings to each one of you. So thankful for the Redeemer that has freed us from that, from our sin problem. Go ahead, brother. It looks like the children are dismissing. So God can work it all out. Sorry to you about that, Sylvan. My wife, Ladon, and I are blessed with four children. We are all able to be present here this evening. We serve the Susquehanna Mennonite congregation. We had a local historian in our area there who would refer to our church as the river. He has passed on several years ago now, But in his journal of 60 or perhaps 70 years ago, he would at times write of, "We went to worship at the river," or "We were to the river this evening." And an elderly brother in our congregation tells me that our congregation used to be known as the Big River Church. So that got my mind to thinking. So we're the Big River Church, and I can only imagine that is due to the fact that 30 miles or 30-some miles to our west flows a little river, if you will, that being the Juniata River. And I also know that there are several churches close to that little river. You would have the Delaware Mennonite Church, the Lost Creek Mennonite Church, and then as you travel towards the east, somewhere towards the middle, you will find the Lovers Mennonite Church and Crossroads, and then travel on east, you will come to the Big River Church. And as recently as 25 years ago, I believe all five of those churches were conference. And at this point in time, to the best of my knowledge, only two of them are still in conference. So I believe our church was known as the Big River Church to differentiate it from some of the churches to our west. The topic given to me is the two sides of friendship. So my mind first went to the thought of, is a friendship and a relationship a different thing? Is there a difference between a friendship and a relationship? I tend to think that there is. You and I cannot help, we cannot avoid relating to people. We relate to coworkers, we relate to delivery people depending what our job is, we relate to customers. Relating to one another cannot be avoided. And it seems to me ungodly society around us tends to have relationships of convenience. And when one relationship fails, they simply drift into the next convenient relationship. However, I believe friendship is always deliberate and friendship is always intentional. Friendships are not happenstance, and they do not occur without effort, I believe. Now, the Websters had this to say about a friend, described a friend in this manner: one attached to another by affection or esteem, and one that is not hostile, a favored companion. And the Websters said about friendship, the state of being friends, the quality or state of being friendly, friendliness. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, the word of God tells us that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And if you and I experience that love, we will have friendships and we will want to develop friendships within the body of believers. A personal friendship or a personal walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will compel us to friendships in the brotherhood. And not only does that connection to Jesus Christ compel us, it will propel us to Holy Spirit sensitivity as we relate one to another and as we develop friendships one with another. We might ask the question this evening, given the topic, why are friendships important in the body of Christ? Well, my own opinion, my own reasoning on why friendships are vital is the fact that you and I are endeavoring to journey with the Lord in a post-Christian society. We are surrounded by a corrupt society. And I feel it's so difficult for us to know when society will deal us the next curveball, will deal the remnant church the next curveball. It is so difficult to know. And I believe that it is vital that we have meaningful, authentic friendships to be prepared to work against the wiles of Satan, as it is, his wiles are so pertinent and so prevalent today that we need to be together and be friends that we can stand together against his devices. The Lord in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2, in that letter to the church of Sardis, the Lord said, "Be watchful to that church and strengthen the things which remain." I believe if the Lord were to pen a letter to the conservative Anabaptist church today, here in the 21st century, I think one of the things that he would pen is that we should strengthen those things which remain. We should strengthen those good things that we still have, strengthen them and increase them. And if you and I are going to do that, it is vital that we are developing genuine friendships that can strengthen the brotherhood. Good, healthy friendships increase our sense of well-being. I'm convinced that the individual who shows himself friendly and has many friends will experience a higher quality of life than will the loner or those who do not invest time and effort in friendships. The first assigned verse for this evening is Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Reads thus: "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Can we accept the pain of faithful wounds? The scripture tells us that those wounds that a friend brings us are faithful. And I believe a wound will bring pain each and every time. And as human beings, I think we tend to be quite adverse to pain. Some of us are. And some of us have even a greater fear of emotional pain than physical pain. However, the scriptures here in Proverbs 27 and verse 6 is, I believe, I feel, referring to necessary emotional wounds that are necessary for you and I to experience. Spiritual growth is painful and difficult at times. And that is why I believe the fact that spiritual growth is difficult, it's painful, we will be wounded at times. That is precisely why we tend to sometimes be feeble Christians. I fear that is why we are feeble Christians at times. We do not have the courage to be vulnerable, and we lack the courage to allow our friends or welcome our friends to bring those necessary wounds our way, those faithful wounds, as the Word of God tells us. But it is so easy for us to be weak and feeble and find the kisses of the enemy to be more attractive, though the Word of God warns us here that those kisses are deceitful. Those kisses are deceitful. We need to have courage. It is important that we have the courage that we are willing to receive the faithful wound from a friend in the Lord. It is vital as we journey. In my Bible, if we find a verse that I think ties into this thought beautiful, in my Bible it's directly across the page. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 23 reads thus: "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. He that rebuketh will in due time find greater favor than the one that flattereth, than the one that never finds courage to help us, never finds courage to reveal my faults to me and your faults to you. But the one who does so will afterwards find greater favor. I think back of a time when I was helped in my walk with the Lord. This happened quite a number of years ago, and it was a small incident, but I believe it was meaningful, for I still remember it, 10 or 11, I believe it's something like 10 or 11 years down the road, 11 years later, and I still recall this incident. This would have been soon after Hurricane Katrina, I believe it was Hurricane Katrina, brought devastating flooding to the city of New Orleans. And so I had a friend from a relative from out of state visiting, and we gathered to converse with him, and a small number of us had gathered. And of course, this storm was, I believe, news, and it was being talked. And I shared a thought that went something to, I don't recall verbatim what I said, but I said something to this point that I do not think that it's an accident that storm hit the city of New Orleans. I was thinking in my mind about things like Mardi Gras, and I was thinking about perceived political corruption and about all kinds of immoral activity within the city there. And my mind was drawn to that kind of thing, and I expressed my opinion that it might not. I don't think it was an accident that the storm struck where it struck. And my relative, my cousin Shane, you don't know him, he lives in Kentucky, so I think I dare use his name. He said to me, "You may be correct, but I think it's good for us to look into our own hearts and to see what God would wish to change in our own hearts." And I felt kind of rebuked when he shared that there publicly. I went home and I thought about that, and I didn't think about it very long, only a day or two, till I realized that the Lord was speaking to me through my cousin there. And I came to realize that my heart was absolutely not where it should have been with the Lord as I passed judgment on why the storm hit where it did. And I realized that indeed I did not have a Christ-like aim, a Christ-like mindset and outlook as I considered those possibilities. And as that rebuke did its work in my heart, I determined that sometime I wanted to tell Shane how he blessed me and how he helped me get just a little bit closer to the Lord and to help my heart to become more fertile for the Lord. So a number of years went by, and I had the opportunity to visit Shane at his place in Kentucky. And as we were walking on the field lane and having a refreshing conversation. And I don't know if there's any other wives here that sometimes struggle to communicate with your husband. I don't know if that is true or not. But if that might be, if there's another wife here outside of LaDawn who experiences that at times, I would suggest that perhaps you go out and buy a football. I have read different times that men converse better when they're doing something. So perhaps if you buy a football and you toss that football, then you'll be able to communicate in your marriage, develop communication in your marriage. So we were walking along this field lane and having a refreshing conversation, and I remembered that I wanted to tell Shane how he had blessed me years ago. And so I may have interrupted the conversation. I said, "Now, before I forget, I need to say something to you." And as I expected, he no longer recalled the conversation. He did not recall what we had shared about. But I told him how it helped me see things the way I should have been seeing things. And it helped me see things with a Christ-like heart. And his testimony was simply this. He said, "Well, our church group really tries to live by that idea of looking within and seeing where the Lord wants to work within us." And I thought, what a royal aim for a church group to have, that we want to look within and we want to open ourselves to the work the Lord has for us, or the work the Lord needs to do in our own lives. My mind was drawn to a biblical example where I feel that this rebuke was given, and afterwards it brought tremendous favor. And the one who was employing this rebuke, or I would view it as rebuke, was none other than the Lord of glory himself in the scriptures. You may turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 if you wish. This is Jesus Christ before the cross, as the cross was looming. And I feel Christ brought wounds to one of the apostles here. And indeed, it took a while for those wounds to reach the target. But Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33 reads thus. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Here Peter is declaring he will never be offended by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never deny him. And we move on to verse number 34, chapter 26 and verse 34. Jesus said unto Peter, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. This night thou shalt deny me thrice. So I believe that Jesus Christ here was endeavoring to bring faithful wounds to his apostle Peter, that Peter might be able to do the work that the Lord had for him to do. And I believe, as we read scripture here, we notice that it took a little while for those wounds to find their target, if you will. It took a while for the wound that Jesus had for Peter here to find their mark. And the mark was, of course, the heart of Peter. That was the target that Christ was after here. And then we go on down in Matthew chapter 26 to verse 75. And here we see the wounds doing their work, the wounds reaching the target. Verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Here, the wounds had reached the mark. Finally, Peter was wounded, as the Lord was aware that he needed to be wounded, and the Lord was working in Peter's life, doing the necessary work. And as we consider scripture, after Pentecost, we see this verse of Proverbs 28 and verse 23 coming to fruition. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find greater favor than one who flattereth with the tongue. We know that after Pentecost, Peter showed great favor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed tremendous favor unto the Lord. I always had this impression is that Peter was this fearless preacher of righteousness, till I considered this story and preparing for this message, and I got the thought that I do not think that Peter was this fearless man. I believe Peter was more ordinary than that. I believe Peter had fears at times, but it's just that Peter had an entire truckload of courage to counter that fear, and he preached courageously the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about this man that Jesus Christ wounded here in Matthew 26, and we see all the work that he did. And Peter was even directed by the Holy Spirit to write several epistles that make things difficult for those who wish to wrest the Gospels. The epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter have much practical teaching for us, and they do make life difficult for those who enjoy wresting the Scriptures. You and I are called to trust and to believe that faithful wounds inflicted upon us will bear the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. We're called to trust that. And I need to acknowledge that I am not gifted in discovering my own faults. I don't feel I'm gifted. I can look into the mirror and I don't see any problems. It's so easy to live life that way, journey through life day by day, believing that we are doing fine. And I, for one, I rely on faithful wounds from my wife and from the brothers. I need that from the brethren. I need that or I will not do well. I do believe it's important that we cultivate kind courage when we share the necessary wounds, the words which will bring the necessary wounds to others. It is vital that we use kind courage. The second verse assigned is also found in Proverbs chapter 27, and verse number 17 reads, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend." Iron sharpens iron. As I considered this verse, the one thing that hit me in a new way, and I believe it is vital that we are aware of this, in order for iron to sharpen iron, it must be in literal physical contact. And I believe God would have us notice this, and God would have us be aware that as we develop friendships, it's important that we relate one to another and that we are walking in literal position close to one another. Iron must be in contact with iron for sharpening to occur. And I believe that is God's intent for us as we develop these friendships. The Bible sets forth the precedent that you and I need to be in close contact one with another if we're going to be sharpening one another and helping one another on the upward journey of life. I fear we are not likely to sharpen our friends on Facebook. And I am not here to tell you that Facebook is sin. That is not my job. That is for the local ministry to decide where things are with that. We recently had a Sunday evening topic. A brother in our congregation had a topic that was assigned internet, friend or foe. And as he gave that presentation, I felt it was profitable. And he just flatly stated in such a way that resonated with me. He stated that Facebook friendships are not real, is what he stated. And he said it in such a way that it touched me. I heard that. And I believe that we do need to be careful and remember that to sharpen iron, we need to be among each other, with each other. Now, if you are wondering what the conclusion was, internet friend or foe, he would have concluded it is neither. He went on to say that the computer is merely an innate object, and perhaps more than anything, it will reveal what is within us. However, let us be aware that we need to be in close contact one with another. Several years ago, soon after I was ordained, I had an experience that felt like a wound. Certainly, it felt like some iron was being sharpened. There was a family in our church that began experiencing some serious personal difficulty, and I believe it was for several different reasons they chose to hide their struggles from the church family, from the ministry. I believe I would have been ordained for 2 or 4 months when this was beginning to occur, only several months in the ministry. And finally, one of their family members that was not a part of our congregation, ratted them out, if you will, if I dare use that term, called and informed us where circumstances were. So I knew what the Lord would require me in a situation like that. I got on the telephone and I made contact with every intent to be present and just to listen and try to be a support with my presence. And I discovered that that door was not open. I was not welcome to be there in presence. I was not welcome to reach out beyond the telephone. And that rejection hurt. That type of rejection hurt me. But I was also, it also, I believe the Lord used that sharpening of iron to help me be aware that I need to be showing myself harmless to the brethren. I do feel that at times I have been hurt by certain critics, and it is important that I reach out to the congregation. It's important that I show myself to be harmless and that I prove myself to be of genuine motives. And so that was one situation where I received some sharpening from within the brotherhood. How can we sharpen our brethren, sharpen our friends, and avoid inflicting lasting damage? How can we sharpen one another and not bring lasting damage? You know, when iron sharpeneth iron, it gains in usefulness. It becomes a better tool when it is sharp and useful, more useful. We should desire the same thing for our friends as we endeavor to sharpen them. We should want them to become more useful tools, better tools in God's kingdom. Jesus gave much to us there in Matthew chapter 18 and verses 1 through 10. I do not think we will turn to that, but when Jesus was talking that we dare not offend the little ones, we dare not offend those who are little in the Lord, new in the Lord, I tend to believe that Jesus Christ was not only in that passage on personal offenses, he was not only referring only to those who are little in age and stature. He was not only showing kind concern for the little ones who are downstairs in classes. I believe they're downstairs in their classes. But Christ was telling us to be mindful of those who are young in the faith and be careful that we do not offend those who are beginning their spiritual journey. Well, the scripture clearly calls us to be involved in sharpening the brethren. Yet we know it's difficult to regain the offended brother. How do we sharpen and yet not offend? The scriptures, I believe, once again, the scriptures hold the key. You may turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I wish to read verses 1 through 3 in Ephesians chapter 4. If we want to relate to one another and help one another become greater tools in the kingdom of heaven, more powerful tools, better weapons in the Lord's hands, if we want to wield the sword of the Lord more effectively, I believe this passage here holds several keys that will help us avoid offense, avoid damaging offense, lasting offense. Ephesians 4, chapter verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So walk worthy of your vocation. One of our callings, vocation here, is friendships. That is one of the things that we are called to in the body of believers. But verse 2 also tells us to do so with lowly meekness. We are called to walk with one another and build friendship with lowly meekness and loving forbearance. As verse number 2 talks about, and doing so with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love with long-suffering. When you and I suffer long in bringing correction to those who need correction, God can do a great work. If we have this type of an attitude, it will not eliminate the possibility of offense, but yet it will most often avoid damaging seriously damaging relationships, I believe, and friendships. So how do we correct? How do we sharpen iron? Do we do so with delightful glee? Do we approach a brother, or do you approach a sister with this idea that he's going to hear what he needs to hear, and he has it coming, and he's going to hear all of it now, and I will drop the ball on him? And our approach is so important, I believe, on how the Lord will be able to work or will not be able to work. So let's not approach one another with the attitude that you have it coming, and now you're going to receive your reward, if you will. Let us experience long-suffering in correcting our friends. It's important that you and I relate to our friends in that way. Our approach and attitude will most often determine the outcome. Our approach and attitude is so important as we relate to our friends. Verse 3 has that call that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So let us be mindful to do those things. And when we mind the Spirit, that bond of peace can be greatly increased in the brotherhood. It can be greatly increased in our friendships. The Word of God in Proverbs 17, let us turn to Proverbs 17 and verse number 17. Important verse for us if we think about having friends and being a friend. Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. It is not easy for me to love at all times. There are times when I struggle to love. And I believe the most difficult friend for me to love is the backsliding friend. That can become quite difficult for me. Quite difficult. Perhaps you don't experience that. I hope you don't. Perhaps you never see friends becoming confused. And I hope you don't. But I have seen it several times. It is a difficult thing to experience. And I have been around that where people backslide. I have observed people arrive in a situation where they could no longer weigh out the Word of God well. I have come to the point where I call this type of a condition a spiritual fog. These people come into a circumstance where they no longer, they don't heed the words of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 16, where Peter wrote about Brother Paul that he wrote some things that are hard to be understood, and those that are unlearned and unstable wrest those things to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. And I have seen friends come into a situation where they don't apply those verses. They forget to apply the fact that some of the word is hard to understand, and they begin resting, and they slowly slide into Satan's grip, if you will, and the fog thickens, and they can no longer see their way forward, and they become confused. They are sure about nothing in the Word of God, or so it seems at times. That can happen to us if we're not careful. So how do we respond to this type of a person? Do we shun these people and pray that the fog does not spread? No, I don't think we do that. The Word of God, once again, has the answer. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses... not sure where I'm going here. 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Excuse me. This scripture here is talking about this type of person precisely, I believe. And there is some good news in it. So how do I love the one who is backsliding and is struggling in the faith and has grown weak in the faith, is losing ground? What do I do to that type of a friend? The scripture told us that a friend loveth at all times. The scripture tells us, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Now this may be referring to a church leader, but I believe it refers to every believer. It applies to every believer. I believe these verses apply to every believer. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his evil will, at his will. So here the word of God tells us that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And the word of God is true. So let us love even those who are in those difficult circumstances and see if these verses here in 2 Timothy may become true. A person who loses ground finds himself in a position where he is opposing himself, as the word of God talks about here, and he begins to struggle. But the word of God tells us that they may recover themselves out of that snare. And I believe there is where it is vital that you and I break out the whetstone. And we need to be with them and walk close to them and be encouraging them in a Holy Spirit-led, sensitive way to help them get their feet back on solid ground. And I need to love in these difficult circumstances, in those circumstances where it's difficult for me to love my friends. All of us do experience periods of difficulty in life. I'm convinced that none of us gets to go through this mortal journey without major, significant difficulties. And it is in times that we feel like our backs are to the wall. It's in times like that, from that position, is when we tend to bite one another in harmful ways. The scripture talks about it in Galatians chapter 5. This chapter, Galatians 5, in the beginning of the chapter, is referring to Christian liberty, liberty in Christ. And then we pick up reading in verse number 15. Think about the one that is experiencing difficulty and is struggling. Galatians 5, verse 15 reads thus: "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So scripture recognizes here that the possibility exists that we may bite and devour one another if we are not careful. When we think about those who have their backs to the wall, those who are struggling and experiencing difficulty in life, it is commonly said, who wants to hug a porcupine? And none of us wants to do that. Yet, Proverbs 17 and verse 17 tells us, a friend loveth at all times, a brother is born for adversity. So are you and I willing to rise up and step up and be that friend that loves at all times? Can we meet the adversity of a struggling friend? I would like to consider one more thing, and that is the possibility of failure in our friendships. I think it's real. I know it's real. The possibility of failure in friendships exists. And I believe the Word of God speaks to that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18 is a verse that I, in a sense, find to be tremendously comforting. Perhaps I shouldn't. I don't know why. But as we think about the possibility of failure, Romans 12 and verse 18 reads thus: "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." I see this as a gigantic clause in the Word of God, that God was aware that there are times when you and I will seek Him and to do His will as we relate to our friends, and God was aware that it wouldn't always work. And this verse so comforts me. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But I believe God is also recognizes that there are time, recognizing there are times when it's not possible. There are times when things will probably not work out. There are probably times when things will not go the way you and I would desire them to go in our friendships. A number of years ago, I had an experience that I think I'm still learning from. This would go back probably 7 or 8 years ago. And this particular situation, I believe, had some aspects of success, and it had some aspects of failure, and perhaps some aspects of indifference, no success or failure. There was a situation in the congregation where this couple began to attend services, and much was noised abroad about this couple and the conduct in the recent past. I hope you don't know any people like that you're almost afraid to see them come in the doors. I guess we shouldn't have that feeling as Christians. So this couple continued to attend, and it became quite obvious in which direction this situation was headed. And I was concerned enough about the things I heard that I went and did some research. It was said that there was financial infidelity in their recent past, if you dare call it that, and that money that was not theirs had been used. And so I went, and unfortunately I uncovered the paper trail. It was available. And the facts were documented. It was not a good situation, not a nice situation. So they apply for membership, and I approached one of the ministry about my concerns. And after a period of time, he came back and he said, well, he had a conversation with them, and yes, much is said, but nothing happened that is wrong here. So we think we're good and clear here. So I approached one of the ministry, and this I expected that this was my last opportunity, and I had genuine concerns here. I felt like this, they were going to be flagged on Judgment Day, and I loved these people enough that I did not want that to occur to them. I did not want their slate to be marred on Judgment Day, and therein laid my concern. So I approached another brother, and he did some follow-up, and he went to see the paper trail, if you will. And at that point in time, restitution was made, and an expression of forgiveness was given by both parties. And, you know, that brother today is a dear brother in the Lord, and I can relate well to him. He shares some of his struggles, not necessarily on a personal level, but in a level with the church family. And it's one of those circumstances where the wife has not journeyed with him in his walk with the Lord, or not, it seems like the wife has not journeyed as closely with the Lord as this brother is journeying. And you and I are both aware that sometimes it is the husband that fails to journey in lockstep with the Lord. Sometimes it is the husband that holds back and does not go all the way the Lord would have him to go. But in these circumstances, there was a third authority in the church that took personal offense. It seemed to me that he was convinced I was of reprobate motives in having this situation examined. And that brother caused me a good bit of difficulty in my journey. And I felt like he brought the greatest level of humiliation my direction that he could possibly have brought, it felt like. But I wish to say this today, my friendship with that brother is better than it has been at any point in time since prior to that happening. It is stronger than it has been for quite a while. And that friendship, that friendship may yet come full circle where we have a strong friendship in the Lord. In closing the message this evening, I do want to acknowledge that I have by no means arrived in friendships. I have not at all arrived. My testimony is it is certainly far easier for me to see the mote in my brother's eye than it is to see the beam in my own eye. that is very true in my life, as we read about there in Matthew chapter 7 and verses number 1 through 5, where the Lord was talking, gave the parable of the mote and the beam. It's so easy to see the mote, and yet I may have a beam in my own eye. And I need to acknowledge that there are several friendships that are vital in my life that are somewhat in the lurch, if you will. I do not know where these friendships will come out. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we anticipate. So I know God can bring all the help I need in the friendships that I am struggling in, perhaps, or working with. I really enjoy the Keystone Winter Bible School Committee and the work they do. I have for many years enjoyed the visiting speakers, getting to hear new speakers and new teachers, sometimes for the first time, and it's a great joy to me. And sometimes as I look over that program, I know precisely why they chose a speaker. I know he has taught about a certain topic a lot, or sometimes it makes sense, and sometimes I don't know. I have heard suspicions in the past that they may sometimes assign a topic to a speaker that they are aware he's weak on. So perhaps that is why I was assigned this topic on friendships. Certainly, I want to endeavor to try to remember the things I studied about and apply them to my friends, and be willing to be wounded and to give wounds for the glory of God. The Lord bless you.